Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm just going to explain the process that we have this morning. There is time allocated 3 to 5 minutes for an opening statement, and then there are 7 questions that we've asked all the candidates. You'll have an opportunity to ask if you have any questions about the role of a trustee. The board will also have open questions for you based on some of your responses, and you'll have 2 to 3 minutes to make a closing statement. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so we're ready when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Well, as you already know, I'm Mary Hickerson. Good morning, everybody. And I am applying. I live in the 8th Congressional District, but I'm applying for one of the at-large positions on the Board of Trustees. And I thank you for this opportunity to introduce myself to the council. To begin with, I'll just briefly summarize my resume. I served as a Minnesota State University employee for 43 years as a faculty member and as an administrator at Southwest Minnesota State University and at the state level. I taught English courses at Southwest for many years, and I've served in a variety of administrative positions. I also served as assistant vice chancellor for academic affairs in the Minnesota State University Board Office, which, of course, no longer exists. I was president of the faculty at Southwest, and then I was president of the faculty of the 7 state universities for 4 years. My career includes both management and labor experience, and both campus and board office level experience. Second, I'd like to convey a little additional information about my experience with governing boards. I listed only one on my application because that experience lasted for 4 years as president of a 21-member board that met 8 to 10 times a year. I served on other boards that I didn't put on the application, largely because I don't have contact information for them anymore. I served on the board of a women's shelter in Southwest Minnesota, a city cable commission, the board of the local Humane Society, and by virtue of my position as a faculty president on the Southwest Minnesota State University Foundation board. Meanwhile, for the past 6 years and currently, I'm the president of a 7-member board of a small nonprofit corporation. Besides being a board member, I've also worked with boards a lot. I attended State University board meetings as president of the statewide faculty, and as assistant vice chancellor, I attended meetings of the State University Board and the Higher Education Coordinating Board, which also no longer exists. I prepared materials for and made presentations to those boards, and having been both a board member and a staff member who worked with boards, I know what boards do and what they do not do. Third, I'd like to address the reason I have applied for this position. My whole life has been devoted to education. I devoted 43 years to educating students and serving the educational system, and I see this as an opportunity to give back by lending my knowledge and expertise and experience to this pursuit. I care deeply about the future of public higher education in Minnesota. I understand that many challenges face MinSKU now and in the coming years, and I know that education will undergo significant changes in the future. I am committed, I'm committed to being an effective and contributing member of the Board of Trustees, and I welcome the opportunity to contribute in every way I can to continuing the tradition of quality post-secondary education for Minnesota students.
Thank you very much. I've lost track. I think who's next? Okay, Tim, you want to start? Good. Thank you.
Can you please describe your understanding of the role of a trustee and explain why you consider yourself a good candidate for this role?
Yes. My understanding of the role of a trustee is to, first of all, be present, obviously, at meetings, and also to understand that what a board does is not micromanagement. What a board does is establish policy, and it also, at least on many occasions, designs the procedure for carrying out that policy. It doesn't go to the campuses, in this case, speaking to this particular board, it doesn't go to the campuses and oversee how something is implemented, nor does it try to take over the role of the presidents. The role of the presidents is, and the chancellor, of course, chancellor first and foremost. The role of the chancellor and the presidents is to carry out the policies that have been established by the Board of Trustees. I have seen this this kind of a board in action very firsthand, having attended meetings of the State University Board understanding that what they did was make policy. And they did so in an informed manner by they read the materials that were provided to them, they asked questions, they interviewed people, they gave people a chance to testify or make presentations, and sometimes they changed their minds about things as a result of having heard from the people that they interviewed and talked to. So I think that the Board of Trustees is responsible for vision, for looking toward the future, but it's also responsible for understanding practicalities and for understanding realities that are faced by campuses, especially in these difficult economic times. So I think my primary qualification is that I've been in education for a long time, and I've seen it from just about every aspect there is to see it from. And I think I'm certainly willing to spend the time to understand the issues that are going on the many campuses involved in the MNSCQ system, and I would certainly devote myself to doing the best I could to represent what I understood the desires of the campuses to be, and to understand the realities that are faced by the Board of Trustees as well.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I think you've already covered this in terms of your past experiences on boards, but could you maybe tell us how these past experiences might have relevancy with the MNSCQ system?
Well, I suppose the primary experience, may I speak to the being not only a member but being a staff person who worked with boards?
Yes.
The floor is yours.
Okay. Okay. Well, having been a board member in several instances, including, I suppose, primarily the board that I included in my resume, you have to understand the operation of a board in order to preside over it for 4 years, as I did with a 21-member board that met as often as it did. So I believe that experience was very relevant. But I also think that my experience in attending State University board meetings and Higher Education Coordinating Board meetings was very important because I could see the way the boards operated and I could understand why they did the things they did. I could see that how important it was to provide adequate information to boards. It's difficult to in any circumstance to understand issues that are not primary in our own lives. Naturally, that's just the way things are. So what boards need to do, the reason people are on boards like this is that they have a distinct interest in what's going on, and they have sincere appreciation of the kinds of issues that face the institutions. But I think they need additional information. They need to be dealt with straightforwardly by the MNSCQ office and also by the people who testify before the board on various occasions. So, excuse me, I think my having had the opportunity to observe as well as to be a member of boards has certainly provided relevant experience, and it's made me believe that I could contribute something to this to the higher the Minnesota Board of Trustees if I were selected.
Thank you. Would you like some water? You got some? Okay.
What do you see as the key issues on the horizon for higher education in Minnesota and for the MNSCQ institutions in particular?
Okay. Well, obviously the first and foremost is economics, finances. Mm-hmm. That's nothing new. It's been going on for a long time. In fact, it's been going on for the whole 43 years that I've been involved in higher education. There haven't been very many flush times since a long time ago. So and it's not going away. It's an issue that will continue to be first and foremost. There are no magic answers, as I mentioned in my application. All we can do, we being everyone, is understand the importance of higher education and the role that it plays in the well-being of the state, and also the role that it plays in the well-being of the citizens of the state. Another issue that I see as being significant is federal accountability. As you probably know, there are the Federal Department of Education has delegated responsibility for examining the operations of higher education institutions to regional accrediting boards. And those are accrediting agencies, I should say. And those accrediting agencies are being pushed more and more by the Federal Department of Education to oversee what's going on campuses. Hmm. And this is the reason I mentioned accreditation in my application. I mentioned that I was involved in accreditation in the last accreditation process at Southwest Minnesota State. Accreditation is the means of accountability. Mm-hmm. And every time an accreditation visit happens, there are additional standards that campuses have to meet. One of the things that has happened recently is that the Department of Education, Federal Department of Education, has been leaning heavily on the regional accrediting agencies to strengthen their standards and to require more evidence and more accountability on the part of institutions. With issues, for example, things like accountability for the type of, for the value of the education the students receive, for how the institution evaluates the value of that education, and similar things like that. So I think that's a really important issue. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I see as being really critical is the mounting student debt. And there's been a lot of information put out about that recently. There's been a lot of sort of hand-wringing about how bad it is. But then what? So I think that's something that boards like the Board of Trustees have to grapple with and analyze as best they can and decide if there's anything, if there's a route that they can take that would alleviate the situation. So those are the three I would see as primary.
I'm next. Mm-hmm. Describe your understanding of diversity and your experience working with diverse populations.
Okay.
And I would nice if you would start out by defining diversity and
okay.
how you see it.
Sure. Yes. Well, I might mention first that in general, diversity is defined for us on the campuses.
True. Yes.
What has happened in the past, there have been many ventures, I guess, that I would call them, into promoting diversity on the campuses. And each time, of course, the system that was involved at the time has provided the definition of diversity. My own personal definition of diversity would be including people of color, racial diversity, however you want to say it, and also gender diversity and geographic diversity. So I believe that all those factors play into this overall umbrella thing that's called diversity. My experience with it, well, for some time, both the State University Board and the Minsky Board of Trustees have tried to promote and tried to encourage the campuses to develop programs that will lead to greater diversity on the campuses, and they also have provided funds for that purpose. They have provided grants that were competitive in nature, and so on. So there have been significant attempts made. My experience with it, in part, was to I was responsible, in part, for preparing the president's work plan, which is what the MinSU board office uses to evaluate presidents. One of the things that had to be addressed in that work plan was diversity. So I've dealt with it from that perspective. Also, Southwest faced a particular challenge, as other campuses do, I'm sure. This isn't just typical of Southwest. But Southwest is in a rural area that isn't very diverse, although it's becoming much more so. One of the problems with promoting diversity is inviting people to campus without the support systems in place that make it possible for them to stay there and to live the kind of life they want to live while they're in that location. So I've had some experience with encouraging diversity, but also seeing some of the underlying factors that lead to difficulties in achieving diversity.
Good. Very, very good. Mm-hmm.
Next, what is your vision for maximizing access to educational opportunities for students?
Well, obviously maximizing the availability involves making it possible, first of all, for students to have that vision themselves, that part of their vision of their own future involves higher education. In order to do that, of course, we have to keep, we being everybody, we have to keep education reasonably affordable. And we also have to address, as I mentioned before, the seriousness of the student debt load. So I think what we have to do is, first of all, create a climate in which the aspiration of students is to achieve higher education, to do that we have to start at much lower levels than the last 2 years of high school. But we have to, at the same time, keep education affordable, which is not an easy thing to do, obviously. And I don't have any magic answers about how you do that. But that's key, clearly. We also have to make sure that students are prepared when they get to the college level. There have been lots of issues regarding preparation, whether the campuses should be involved in remedial education or whether they shouldn't be. Then what do you do when students come who are obviously not prepared? So I think the issues are financial. They are related to preparation, and they're related to the students having a vision themselves, probably greater than that, the state's having a vision that leads to availability of higher education.
Describe the unique challenges of a system comprised of technical, community colleges, and state universities.
Yes. I know that one firsthand. Yes. It's certainly a challenge because the three systems are unique in the sense that they are not altogether similar to one another. They have certain similarities, obviously, but there are big differences. The Chancellor's Office and the Board of Trustees are in a difficult position trying to balance the need for the needs of those diverse systems and also balance what the Board of Trustees sees as the vision for the state. What is it that should guide the decisions that the Board of Trustees makes about division of resources? One of the significant challenges, obviously, is competition for resources. So how does the Board of Trustees, how does the Chancellor's Office decide? Is it equitable to distribute the funds the way they're distributed now, or is there a better system? There's also a difference in preparation and standards for the people who work in those systems. So the balancing act, I guess, is the distinct challenge that is not going to go away. These systems are not the same. They will never be the same. They don't have the same goals. They don't have the same resources. They don't have the same needs for equipment and for licensure and for certification and so on. All of those things are different among the three systems. And it's not an easy thing, I know firsthand, for the system to decide how to allocate these resources, which are not altogether plentiful in the first place. Mm-hmm. And how do you decide what's most important, what is more important to the state and the future of the state?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Caught up with writing notes. I apologize.
Okay.
Last question of the set questions. What would you consider to be a perceived conflict of interest for you as a trustee in that role? And whether you had a conflict of interest or not, how would you handle the situation?
Well, I thought about this at the time that I filled out the application, because there was a question about what do you see as a conflict of, how do you understand the issue of conflict of interest? I thought about that, and at least at this point, I don't foresee that I have conflicts of interest. For example, I don't have any connections to vendors that serve any of the institutions. I don't have a position in any of the units that are involved in the system. So I don't foresee that I would develop a conflict of interest. However, if I did, I would certainly be very aware of that, and I would convey to someone on the Board of Trustees, perhaps the chair or perhaps the entire board, that I had a conflict of interest and that I would have to recuse myself. I would not participate in any discussions, and I would make it clear that I just could not express an opinion, and that it was not appropriate for me to be involved in making such a decision, whatever that decision was.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's the end of the set questions, and now I'm going to ask the council members if they have any questions.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And what is your understanding of Title IX and its role in the Menescu system, mm-hmm. whether academic or any area, athletics, academic? What is your understanding?
Well, I understand Title IX to be the federal provision that has led to attempts at greater equality between men and women on campuses. And it's had a particular impact in the area of sports. That is, I would say that that's where most of the attention on my particular campus, past campus that is, has gone. So at Southwest, for example, the female population is larger than the male population, and I'm not referring to sports now, just overall, which is a turnaround from the way things used to be, of course. The higher education used to be predominantly male. It's not anymore. With regard to sports, I think it has led to some big changes. When you've been involved in all this stuff for 43 years, you see a big change in things like that. It used to be that women's sports were hardly visible. Now they're much more visible. In part, they are more visible because of Title IX. Partly, they're more visible because Title IX mandates more resources and more awareness. They are not, quote, equal, because the spectator interest still isn't equal. And maybe we'll see that in the future, but maybe we won't. But we certainly see the rise of interest from the spectator level, mm-hmm. and particularly since we've had a successful professional women's sports team. That certainly doesn't hurt anything. So I think Title IX, from my perspective, as a female and as somebody who's been on campuses for a long time, from my perspective, Title IX has had a significant impact.
Thank you.
Yes. Tim.
In your opening remarks, you referred to your current service on a board that had seven members, a nonprofit board for the last 6 years. What is the board?
Well, you're not allowed to laugh. I'm the president of Minnesota Wisconsin Collie Rescue. So it's an animal rescue organization.
We have a dog lover here.
I can't hear.
Right here, too.
There's three of us.
Well, thank you.
So it's an animal rescue organization that provides medical care and foster care and then home placement for dogs that have ended up homeless for one reason or another. And one of the things that's happened, of course, as you might expect, is with the economic downturn, there have been floods of dogs that need homes. Mm-hmm. And So it's an organization that it says Minnesota, Wisconsin in the title, but it's in Minnesota, Wisconsin, of course, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nebraska. So it's far flung. It's not huge, but it has a significant budget from my perspective, anyway. And the work we do is, I think, very valuable.
Wonderful. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Okay. Are there other questions? Okay, great.
Let me ask one. Do we have time for
one? Yeah, sure. One more.
Again, it's relating to the way the world is changing, particularly with technology. I'm having trouble getting this out. And that has impacted education in both good ways and problematic ways.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've run into the whole distance learning question. Mm-hmm. Would you just comment a bit on how you see the role of technology in the future, perhaps both negative and positive?
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully there's more positives than negatives, but I'd love your opinion on it.
Sure. Well, it's been astonishing to watch the rise of the influence of technology and to see the freedoms that it has given students and faculty members, and also to see the downside of things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, of course, that is involved is getting enough technology capability on the campuses. That's been a real difficulty. None of it is cheap, of course.
Yeah.
Things like that never are. So the campuses have had to funnel money from other pursuits into technology, as has the Minsky Board Office. And the Minsky Board Office has put a lot of energy into training for faculty members. One of the difficulties is bringing everybody up to the level that they can use the kind of technology that's now available. Students, on the other hand, come in very proficient, and they expect that dinosaur standing up there, who's maybe like 40, to be just as proficient as they are. So, one of the things that's changing at the accreditation level too.
Yes.
Is that the whole process is now electronic. Well, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say the whole process, because people do actually arrive on the campus for a visit, but everything is prepared electronically.
Yeah.
The downside, besides the expense, I don't think we know the downside fully yet, because mm-hmm. I think it has something to do with the social nature of our world, our whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we won't know the full effects of that for some time yet, but we know that some people learn better in an environment where they can sit in front of a computer and have relatively little interaction with other people, but yet other students do not thrive in that.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been many attempts at adapting technology, education presented by technological means to make it more involving for the students, to create discussion groups and more interaction with faculty members that they never see and other students that they never see. So I think things are going to continue to trend in that direction. I don't see it changing in the sense that it's going to go away. It's not.
Yeah.
But I think that more resources are going to have to be put into that. Distance learning is very attractive to some students, and it's also very practical for other students,
yeah.
And it's something that we have to be involved in.
Thank you. That's very thoughtful.
Okay.
One more.
Okay.
Quick. Thank you, Mary. Within the role of trustee, much attention is given to the University of Minnesota and the Minsky system here mm-hmm. in the Twin Cities.
Mm-hmm.
But there are greater Minnesota out-of-state institutions that need equal attention outside of the Twin City politics. How would you assure equitable attention is given to those institutions?
Mm-hmm. I'd have a personal stake in that. But by that, I don't mean a conflict of interest.
No.
I just mean that I understand that because that's something that Southwest Minnesota State struggled with a lot. And I know that Minnesota West, the other, the technical community college institution in the same area, has had that same difficulty. And I think it would just be innate in somebody like me coming from another area of the state to understand that that's a balance that we have to pay attention to. And I guess I would constantly be thinking, okay, how is whatever policy or procedure or whatever it is that we're talking about, how would that affect the outstate campuses, and how are their needs and their resources different from the institutions in the city's area?
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mary. We are showing all of the applicants last month's board packet. You've seen them before. They haven't gotten any smaller. Because of the commitment that trustees need to make, we want all of the candidates to be well aware of the time sacrifices that are expected. So here's the packet. I just was saying, here's the packet. I'm putting it on the table. Believe me, you don't need to read last month's.
Okay.
But I did get this month's just this morning.
Okay.
Can you, are there any questions that you have about the role of a member of the Minsky Board of Trustees?
Oh, one thing I was kind of curious about is how this group would see the current relationship between the Chancellor's Office and the Board of Trustees. I know that varies naturally. And I also know that sometimes some boards are more involved and more, they expect more information and more participation than others. So I just wondered how this group might see the connection now between the Chancellor's Office and the Board of Trustees.
Well, we really don't have the knowledge of that. And I can tell you, however, that the Chancellor did come in and we benefited from his opinion of how he would like to fill the needs of the board. Okay? Okay. You have 2 to 3 minutes to make a closing statement, should you choose to do so.
Okay. Well, I would just reiterate that I love education. I always knew from the time I was a little kid that that's what I was going to do. I was going to be involved in education. I still have energy and time to devote to something like this. I strongly believe in the future of higher education. I believe that it's critical to the future of our state, and it's critical to the future of our economic capability. It's critical to the nation to stay in the position that we currently are in the world. I think there are significant challenges to education that can only be met by a deep commitment to keeping education available and to keeping participation high. I think that I have some resources, intellectual background, whatever, experiential, that would contribute to the Board of Trustees. And for that reason, I was very interested in applying for this position. And were I to be selected, I would certainly put my heart and soul into it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.